Well, hello. Welcome to the next episode of Pegasus Radio. And today I want to talk to you about a conference I've recently been on, which was LinkedIn's Talent Connect. They've run this once a year, I believe, in various countries. Obviously, I attended the one in London. And it's really, I guess, essentially about the future of talent and the future of work. And honestly, you all need to listen to this episode of this podcast from some of the things I learned from it, some of the stats I'm going to give you, because it's quite mind-blowing whether you are an employer or an employee and how things are going to change. Now, it was far-reaching. It had lots of amazing speakers on with different angles, different agendas, different things I wanted to talk about. And obviously, I couldn't attend all of the conferences, all the lectures. Some of them obviously aren't at the same time, but I picked the ones I thought were most relevant, in particular around kind of talent and recruitment. So I just wanted to share some of the things I learned at that and then explain why it's important to you and why you need to kind of take heed, as I say, whether you're an employer or an employee. So I'll dive straight in. One of the first sessions, one of the opening things was just about generally what data LinkedIn have. And one of them was around LinkedIn jobs. Now, I don't know how many jobs LinkedIn advertise. I wouldn't be surprised if it's over 1 million at any one time. Obviously, by far, technically the largest job board on the planet in terms of what it does. And so here are a few interesting things that may or may not surprise you and may hopefully, you know, if you're an employee considering what kind of working pattern you are looking for, then worth taking note of this. Equally, if you are an employer in terms of what working pattern you are offering employees, then worth taking up. So the first thing to stress is that fully remote roles being advertised are decreasing rapidly on LinkedIn. So there are not that many fully remote roles being advertised on LinkedIn. 40% of the roles, however, that are advertised are hybrid. Now, this number is skewed because the reality is there are certain sectors, you know, hospitality, healthcare, manufacturing, construction being some obvious ones, where there are a lot of, you've got no choice, it has to be a fixed location, you have to be there, you know, 5, 6, 7 days a week, depending on what, you know, what you're working, shift patterns, etc. So if we take all that out and just think about the number of roles that could be exposed to hybrid, that 40% is probably a lot higher. So I would guess, you know, as much as probably 60-70% of jobs being advertised are hybrid now. So if you're an employer and you are not offering any degree of hybrid, then you either have to be very confident about your culture, the environment, and the reason why you're not offering it, or you need to think about offering it because, frankly, the vast majority of your competitors are definitely offering it. Now, just a quick aside, as a straw poll, I would say the vast majority of my clients are offering a typically 3-2-day split, so 3 days in the office, 2 days working from home. And I think, personally, I think that's the right cadence. I think it gives you enough time to spend time with your colleagues, with your senior leadership, or be visible to your senior leadership, to collaborate, to learn. And then you've got 2 days at home for kind of concentrated work, where it's probably better if you're not in the office. But notably, you know, fully remote roles are clearly something that businesses are now realizing do not work. And I have to say, you know, I keep on speaking to more people in more organizations. I think in the world I work in, the kind of, I guess, kind of construction and infrastructure property world, consultancy world, that is, there are certain organizations who have gone too far in terms of the ability for people to choose when they work and where they work. And I think that is now really adversely affecting some of those organizations from a cultural standpoint. And they're seeing a lot of people leaving who actually, you know, want to get back into an environment where they see their colleagues on a more regular basis. But equally, if you're an employee and listening to this, look, the reality is fully remote roles and just not something businesses are engaged in. I would still say there's a general tussle. I would still say a lot of businesses would rather have their people in even more, but they're feeling that they, want a better phrase, made their own bed and now trying to unpick that in terms of trying to convince people to get back into the office more regularly. I do think we will see most businesses settle on this cadence of 3 days in the office, 2 days at home. There are certain sectors, unsurprisingly, that are adversely affected at the moment because people do want that degree of flexibility, certainly in terms of not having to work absolute core hours. The most two affected industries being hospitality and healthcare, where people are looking for a bit more work-life balance, but not far behind that is construction. Now, that's probably in reality construction in terms of, I guess, kind of trades level, where people need to be on site every day. But certainly, you know, that's another, is another industry being affected by that, and consequently people leaving those industries, which is not great. They estimate that in the UK alone, the UK economy is losing £39 billion a year due to a shortage of people in key sectors, which just blew my mind as to that number. They do see things changing in terms of the dynamic of different jobs coming up going forward. The most obvious one being that green skills and green jobs will only go one way. It will only continue to increase. Apparently, at the moment, 7 out of 8 employees in the UK alone have no green skills. Now, green skills is quite a wide statement in terms of what that actually means, and it can be far-reaching from just how, you know, different skills people use in an office environment to make their business greener, shall we say, and you know, recycle, all that kind of goes up, right through to obvious things like, you know, solar panel installers, retrofit installers, all those kind of things. And obviously, look, the majority of the green skills and where the demand is going to come is obviously at that end, you know, to, you know, what you might view as more pure green skills, such as retrofit, etc. One thing that was evident throughout the conference was this focus on skills-based recruitment rather than experience-based recruitment. So what do I mean by that? Skills-based is, you know, what core skills do you need to do a job, as opposed to experience-based recruitment, which is what's on your CV, you know, what degree have you got, what, you know, what, who have you been employed by? And certainly at the moment, they are suggesting that this needs to change if we're going to meet some of the skills gaps, particularly in certain sectors. At the moment, which I thought was a really interesting change, over a third of the jobs advertised on LinkedIn do not require somebody to have a degree, which is really interesting. And what they're arguing with that is that that does open up a wider talent pool, which is needed across most sectors. But on top of that, you know, it leads to more diversified hiring, which is generally better for the industry. Certainly, so they're saying skills-based hiring will improve diversity and fairness in hiring. So one of the other big subjects at this conference was obviously around AI and how it's changing the world of work and how things are continuing to change, not only from a pure AI perspective, but also just pure from a pure technology perspective. And so I'm going to give you some other really interesting stats on this. They say in the next 20 years, 10% of current job roles will go entirely. They will no longer exist. However, so on one level you think, 10%, that's not too bad. The other interesting stat is they predict 100% of jobs, the skills needed to do those jobs will change. So I'm not saying that the skills will change 100%. Sorry, I misworded that. What they are saying is that every single job that is currently being done across the world will see skills change in those jobs. And of course, that means that people have to reskill and adjust to get the current skills for the job going forward. Right now, just in the next decade, they suggest that 65%, there will be a 65% change in skills in the next decade. 7 out of 10 hiring managers believe that skills gap will widen over the next decade if we do not do something about that to address it. They say that across the globe, 1 billion people will need to reskill in the next decade. That's a third of the current global workforce. So reskill could be reskill within your existing job. It could be changing entirely and learning a brand new skill to do a different job. So a third of the current workforce in the next decade will need to reskill. Again, mind-blowing numbers when you think about it. So will AI take out your job going forward? I think, again, the overriding kind of message over here was to do not see AI as an enemy, but do see it as an enabler. What we should all be doing is trying to learn how we can enable AI and use AI. Sorry, AI, I beg your pardon, not NI. We're not talking about national insurance. What we should all be doing is working out how to use AI to make our jobs easier. So learning how to properly prompt AI, labeling what kind of systems and tools to use to get the best out of AI rather than just seeing it as the enemy. The people who will do the best in the next decade are those who embrace AI rather than running away from it. Don't hide yourself under a stone somewhere and just, you know, don't worry about it. Embrace it, learn it. So within the skills that you're doing now, you know, if I'm talking to people now listening to a quantity surveyor, go and search, how can AI make my job easier as a quantity surveyor? Spend a few hours on it each week, you know, watching videos on YouTube, wherever it may be, but learn how to make AI part of your job function to enable you, because these are the changes that you will need. There's a really fascinating speaker whose name, frustratingly, I've forgotten. I'll dig it out and put it when I post this podcast episode up. He's really quite interesting in terms of what he was suggesting future leaders should be focused on in terms of changes within their organisations. at the moment, they think if they, well, they did do a study and ask most leaders what they should be doing based on what they should be looking at in today's world, in today's technological place. 20%, sorry, today, what they should be doing today, what they should be doing tomorrow, and what they should be doing in the future. So obviously tomorrow doesn't mean tomorrow. Tomorrow, it means, let's say, you know, let's say in the next year or so. The study suggested that most leaders are probably 70% stuck in today, 20% stuck in tomorrow, and 10% stuck in the future in terms of what they should be doing, what they should be looking at. The reality is that most business leaders should be more concentrated on maybe 20% of what's going on today, 30% tomorrow, and 50% of the future, i.e., business leaders should be looking at the future. Where is the future of our industry going? You know, this amazing, amazing speaker gave so many examples of businesses that have either completely gone or have lost their way significantly because they have not looked at the future and not changed. What really interesting acronym he came up with, though, is, so imagine those as bar charts. You know, currently most future leaders think there should be 70% in today, 20% in tomorrow, or 10% in the future. Whereas it should be 20%, 30%, 50%. Imagine those as bar charts. What he said is actually where most businesses and most leaders are stuck in is SOY. So that's another column, if you like, right at the front of all of those. SOY stands for shit of yesterday. So excuse my language, folks. But what he was saying is the vast majority of businesses are still stuck doing what they were doing 5-10 years ago in terms of their service offering and how they're delivering things, when really they need to be looking at where are things going today, where are things going tomorrow, and where are things going, you know, the day after tomorrow, in the future, so to speak. A really, really interesting acronym that made me laugh. So is your business stuck in shit of yesterday in terms of what they are doing day to day? And is that going to fundamentally affect you and lead you to be less competitive, perhaps even go bust in the future if you're not focused on what is happening for the future? So a really interesting thing, I'm going to read you a quick quote, which I thought was really interesting. And this is by a lady called Minoush Shafiq, who is the president of Columbia University. And this sums up where the industry is going. I'll come on to this in a bit more detail. In the past, jobs were about muscles. Now they're about brains. But in the future, they will all be about the heart. So what that's saying is that EQ is rapidly replacing IQ because of the, let's say, the heavy lifting that AI will be able to do for us in the future. Those individuals who are very much just stuck in the weeds, who are very technical professionals, are going to get rapidly taken over by those individuals who've got strong EQ, strong emotional intelligence, an ability to kind of engage with people, an ability to cope with change in an organization. Historically, you know, we're in the kind of a knowledge economy now, and people have been paid very handsomely for being very good technical experts. The reality is AI is going to level some of that playing field. And so you need to think more if you're an employee, and indeed if you're an employer, about nurturing those skills around how to be better with people, how to develop empathy. And look, there is a lot, big argument about whether people can be taught empathy and EQ, you know, whether it's something actually just your natural makeup as a person. But certainly there are ways that you can improve things like empathy, even if it's almost kind of mimicking empathy as opposed to true empathy and true EQ. But what was loud and clear is that because AI is changing and leveling the playing field so much, is that individuals who are able to enable AI well, but also have strong EQ, are going to be the winners in the future. Those who are stuck in the weeds, who are very technical and that's all they do, are going to get left behind potentially. That's where AI could potentially threaten some of their jobs. So that is really worth thinking about. You know, both for me, I've got 15 and 13-year-old daughters, about what I advise them to do, what I advise their skills to get, what universities do going forward, and what skills do schools do going forward. Because the reality is, purely learning for the sense of learning is going to change. AI is going to change a lot of that. And so really, we need to be developing skills in our younger, you know, our children, but also young employees, but also for that matter, our older employees. You know, you still, if you're between 55 and 60 now, you've still got well over a decade in what will be an ever-changing world. And so businesses need to embrace this and recognize that we need to constantly be working on change. If you're a consultancy now, the reality is, over the next decade, from a technical perspective, what you're providing now, which is probably what you're getting paid a lot of your fees for, is going to get turned on its head by AI. So A, you need to be investing heavily in the technology and understanding of that, both for your people, but also you as a business in terms of systems and processes. But equally, you need to be aware that if you are not hiring individuals with higher EQ, more empathetic, more ability to engage and understand, you know, in critical thinking and understand how to understand what a client's needs are, how to kind of fully embrace that, get a client on board, all of those good things, then ultimately you're going to lose ground over those businesses that do invest more heavily in all of that. So that's really, really worth thinking about. And that brings you probably full circle back to this kind of, you know, skills-based employment as well, and how you go about hiring people. Hire people with the right skills who you feel can adjust to change, are empathetic. They believe that, you know, and the great example they gave, which may be going slightly off course, but if you hire on skills-based, and they gave quite an interesting stat that in very male-dominated roles, if you hire purely on skills and ability rather than necessarily experience and what's on somebody's CV, then they saw a 24% increase in females hired in male-dominated roles because they were employing based on skills as opposed to based on what's generally on your CV. So that's been quite probably a rambling one, folks. Honestly, the day I went into the Talent Connect day, not feeling great health-wise. I was struggling with some man flu, but maybe didn't have that too much higher expectation of what the day was. Honestly, it blew my mind, and it's a lot that I'm going to take away both within my business in terms of how we adjust going forward, how we, you know, make sure AI is an enabler and not an enemy to us, recognizing that in some of the industries I serve, you know, which areas are going to grow massively and which ones are not, you know, how I go about employing the right people, but also then trying to beat the drum and support my own clients with how they go about identifying the right people for the future, those that are empathetic with high EQ, those who get the fact that AI is going to change things and want to be part of that change, not just bury their head in the sand. In fact, that's probably a great analogy. At the moment, both individuals and businesses have two choices. They can bury their head in the sand about what the future is going to look like, or they can embrace what the future is going to look like and make sure that AI and just general changes in culture is going to be a real enabler. One thing to note, folks, again, just going to get quickly off tangent. Currently, this may surprise you all, 25% of employees are Gen Z, or if you want to pronounce it, whichever side of the pond you're on. The reality is Gen Z want different things. They're not prepared to work 60 or 70 hours. They will go to employers who've got the right kind of green credentials, let's say, and are working on the right projects. They will refuse to work on projects that maybe the end client is not in line with that. We have all got to embrace this, understand that the world is changing, understand that, you know, I'm a Gen X, you know, obviously before me was baby boomers, obviously between that and Gen Z are millennials. This is all changing and the world is changing. And so we cannot, I guess, kind of have a world that was built for baby boomers and Gen X's and assume that everything else is going to continue as it was. The reality is, particularly Gen Z, I mean, whatever comes after Gen Z, one different things out of the workplace. You either adjust, or in another 5 or 10 years, when all the baby boomers are definitely retired and most of the Gen X are getting close to retirement, you'll have a business that is not fit for purpose for tomorrow's world. So you have to adjust. You have to embrace the changes that are coming and not just bury your head in the sand.
Ooh.
Sermon over. I hope that's genuinely been a useful one. Please, if you listen to this and some of it has scared you, some of it has surprised you, please do forward this episode, and in particular to other people, business leaders, but also individuals. I think everyone needs to hear this. It's really fascinating. I think generally we all need to embrace more the fact that the world is going to change. It's an unfathomable level, I think, over the next decade in terms of the world of work, that is. And we all need to just get an understanding of what that means and how it's going to impact our jobs, because for sure all jobs are going to change. You know, my job's definitely going to change. Your job will change. You either embrace it and get ahead of it, retrain potentially and do something completely different, but you need to work out how to tackle that. And I'm not saying we all know exactly how the next decade is going to pan out, but as a good starting point, try and work out, if you're not already someone like this, how to be more empathetic, how to improve your EQ, but also just embrace AI, because it's coming, and it's coming like a bloody fast high-speed train. It's going to change the world of work in the next 5 years, let alone the next 10 years. So you need to embrace this. If you're kind of 55 now and you don't think that's going to affect you? You think you can see it out until retirement? I don't think you can. I think it's changing at such a pace. Certainly, if you are 40, then your world is going to get turned upside down unless you're ahead of that. Certainly, if you are 20, I have no idea what the world is going to look like by the time you're my age. I'm 48 now. The change is just going to be, you know, absolutely crazy. I appreciate in construction in particular, a lot of people kind of say, oh, we've done it the same way for the last so many years. Obviously, things like, you know, modern methods of construction, modular, taking a bit of a battering at the moment, and they're saying, look, this is evidence, nothing ever changes. It does all change, and particularly if you're in the consultancy world and the service you're providing as a QS, as a PM, as a building surveyor, whilst, yes, some of the mechanics of what goes on a site may change more slowly, albeit I do think that's going to change rapidly as well, how you do your job is going to change massively. And any job where you spend the majority of your time sat in front of a computer screen is going to see phenomenal change over the next decade. You need to get your head around that. You need to adjust. Okay, over and out. I need to go have a lie down. Bye.